Hello, my loves. Happy New Year. My goodness. How are you doing? I have missed you. I apologize. It has been a while. The last few months, real talk of 2025, were kind of wild. I just kind of took a break. Just took a break from creative things. And so the break is ending. Here we are, and we're back to writing and doing literally everything. I am still on Patreon. I am doing tarot readings and erotic love notes. So especially if you want one by Valentine's Day, please get those orders in. So if you want one, please send me a DM on Instagram as Strawberry Smut Cakes. Just say you want a love note and I will get you set up. They are $44 and they take 5 to 7 business days for me to deliver them to your inbox. All right. So I have a story. I really do enjoy and have enjoyed over the past several years using sexuality or using the act of sex itself to process grief. So that's what this story is. Let's get into it. Okay. Can I call you back, Mom? My bus is here. Maggie said with an impatient huff, knowing the second it left her 47-year-old mouth, her mother was going to say something about it. Margaret, don't speak to me in that tone. I just wanted to call you and see how you were doing. Is that so wrong? There it was, the same general reply. Whenever she let her exasperation come out, never mind all that she held in while standing there on the sidewalk, being grilled about every little thing. Yes, she was eating. Yes, work was fine. Yes, she was going to her grief group. And yes, her therapist was still on speed dial. Mom, sorry, you're breaking up. The connection is getting spotty. I'll text you later. She replied as she dug out her transit card from her bag and ended the call. Maggie smiled at the driver. She swiped her card and took a seat in the back. There was an older man sitting at the front, hand propped on his cane. A younger woman with her toddler son was seated 2 rows back from him. Then there was her. By herself, the connection on her phone was just fine. She just needed to breathe to not have to answer another question. So when the phone vibrated in her purse, Maggie jumped, pulled it out to find her mother's number flashing on the screen. She silenced it, placed it back in her bag, and closed her eyes before starting the gentle breathwork practice her therapist taught her. All the commotion was happening because Maggie posted on her Instagram story that today was the 6-month anniversary of her best friend Emily, the person she had been closest to since college, passed away. Lung cancer swooped in hard and fast, sucking the light out of her eyes, her skin, and left her disintegrating in her bed on hospice until she didn't take another breath. Maggie was there for all of it. Emily's incessant bronchitis that never seemed to go away. The scan revealing the spot on her lung. The biopsy, diagnosis, the withering away of her friend until Emily's sister called her at 2 in the morning to tell her she was gone. She hated she wasn't there. She was rotating with Emily's family, taking turns staying the night with her. Her night was the one prior to her passing. If she had known, she would have stayed awake all night, saying everything she could think of, staring as hard as she could, memorizing every bit of Emily's face. But even now, she knew that was impossible. Emily wasn't herself at the end. Maggie had already said everything she could ever say, over and over, until she wasn't sure Emily was hearing her anymore. And now she was on a bus, heading across town to a bar that Emily loved and Maggie tolerated. Karaoke was her most favorite thing in the world. Maggie went along and cheered her on, but stayed off the stage. She wanted to go, not to sing, of course, but to have a drink for Emily, eat lunch, and maybe stare at the ocean. It was a cloudy, chilly day. She hoped the rain would stay away for a bit so she could take a short walk after eating. Once the bus arrived at the stop she needed to get off at, she made the short walk to the bar, taking care to notice the crows and the seagulls flying overhead. The water was just up ahead. A few people playing frisbee against the gray backdrop of the sky. Even in winter, the beach was still a beautiful place to be. Zipping up her coat as the wind picked up, Maggie remembered the last time they were here. It was right before Emily's first scan. She was nervous and wanted to go sing, but as she was about halfway through the song, she had a coughing fit so bad she couldn't finish. They still had a good time splitting nachos, sipping gin and tonics, while swapping work stories, but Maggie knew something was wrong, and neither of them wanted to bring it up. Now it was just her, opening the door for herself, Emily's bright voice nowhere to be found as the door closed behind her and she waited to be seated. "Hey, sit wherever you like. I'll be over in just a minute with water." A handsome man shouted at her from behind the bar before darting to the back where the kitchen was. She was early for lunch. The place just opened 15 minutes ago. Looking around, thinking about choosing a spot at the bar like they always did, she decided to sit facing the window so she could see the ocean. Setting her purse and phone on the table, she took off her coat, hanging it on the back of her chair before taking a seat. As the handsome bartender arrived with a sticky menu and a glass of water. "Anything I can get started for you?" "A gin and tonic, please," Maggie replied, taken by the startling blue of his eyes. "Coming right up," he replied, and off he went. It was too early for a cocktail, too, but not too early to think about what she wanted to do with this man. It wouldn't be the first time she fucked her grief. She knew the swell of it was increasing just by being in here, threatening to crash onto her, sweep her out into the deep part of her heart ocean. When she tethered herself to another person, whether there was a cock in her mouth or filling her pussy up, she could stay on shore, delay the trip out. She didn't feel like crying or feeling the heavy, wet blanket of her sadness. The pleasure of acquiring this man. Maybe taking him into the bathroom seemed like a much more fun plan. "All right, here's your gin and tonic," he announced, setting the drink down in front of her. "I'm Brian, by the way. Is there anything else I can get for you?" "Maggie," she replied, but then felt silly. It was normal for a server to introduce themselves, but not the patrons. "Sorry, habit, I guess. May I have the nachos?" "Well, it's lovely to meet you, Maggie. And yes, you may," he replied, taking her menu and leaving her red face to take a long sip of her drink. A few more people arrived, and she watched him flit back and forth between tables. He wasn't her type, and she had no idea what part of her body was aching to have him, besides the obvious, of course. She was already getting wet, but here they were. Brian had long dark hair held back in place by a black elastic. He had on a band t-shirt, the name of which she had never heard of, and low-slung jeans that were nearly falling off his thick hips. He looked like he probably worked out a few times a week, but drank more than he went to the gym. Still, those eyes and his charming smile had her pinned down, soothing the hurt her body was carrying. They made eye contact a couple of times when he walked by, and they smiled at each other. A third time, he winked. It was then she started constructing a plan to get him into the bathroom. Staring out the window, her mind bounced from memories and thoughts of Emily to Brian. Her desire for him mixed with the bruised heartache of knowing there wouldn't be any more life to share with Emily. The time they had together stopped the moment her breath did. "Well, here you are, Maggie," Brian said as he placed the plate of nachos down, jolting her from her thoughts. "Anything else I can bring you?" he asked, placing his hand on the back of her chair. She shook her head. "No, I'm good, but don't be gone too long." The words spilled out before she had a moment to think about what she was saying. Don't worry, darling, I won't, he replied, this time squeezing her shoulder. If Emily were here, and maybe she was, watching down on her antics, she'd be laughing at how once again Maggie was going after yet another man. But it was the thrill of running around with him that delighted her until it didn't. She'd swear them off until another one sauntered in, and the cycle would repeat. Emily's voice of reason wasn't here to remind her this was wild, and Maggie should give it a rest. Maybe if she didn't die, Maggie wouldn't be fighting with the dark heart ocean threatening to take her out again. Maybe she wouldn't be aching for this man's cock, begging it to rescue her, throw her a life raft for a moment so she could find her breath. And then again, maybe there would be some other trivial thing that would be stressing her out and she'd want to escape that too. Her eyes flooded, the hot sting of rage filling those tears. The anger of her friend leaving her here to fend for herself, to figure it out on her own, the unfairness of it all lashed at her. She couldn't take it. She didn't want to take it. So she took the alcohol, the distractions, the random men, chasing it all down with therapy, her grief group, and her other friends. It would all shake out okay in the end, right? She needed some sweet with the bitter, and what could be sweeter than a salacious fuck in a dimly lit bathroom of her best friend's favorite bar? Brian walked out the door to serve a brave couple who decided to sit outside with their sodas. On his way back in, he stopped by her table. Everything good here? His hand was on the back of her chair again. Of course. Could be better if you weren't doing your job, she flirted. What would you suggest I do? He asked, leaning in close enough she could smell the cigarettes on his breath. Turning to look at the bathrooms and seeing the other sprinkling of people in the restaurant, plus the state of their tables, she figured they had 20 minutes. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, and you can decide where to be, Maggie said before downing the rest of her gin and tonic. Okay, hang on. The suspense is killing me, but I need to run this food real quick. I'll be right back, he replied. A spark of interest darted across his face as he left to get the food. Her heart was pounding. This was an opportunity to back out, to choose the healthier option, to pay her bill and leave before he returned. But there was no fun in that, so she ate another bite of her nachos, and when he returned, she turned to face him and said, I'm taking three more bites of these nachos. And then I'm going to the bathroom, where I hope to find you back there waiting for me. She kept her expression as neutral as possible, and before he could say a word, she went back to her food. See you in a bit, he said, his voice barely above a whisper, as he went outside to take the soda couple's order. When he came back in, she didn't meet his eyes. She gave him just over a minute to punch in the order before picking up her purse, leaving her coat and walking to the bathroom. She didn't see him back there as she approached the door, her nervous anticipation draining, spiraling into fear that this was not the move. This was insane, and what the fuck was she doing? But he rounded the corner from the kitchen, grinning at her just as she approached the bathroom door. She reached for his hand and pulled him in, locking the door behind them. Brian grabbed her hips, pulled her to him and kissed her long and full on the mouth. His lips, tongue, the heat of him burned away her fear, the grief, the memory of Emily, and reduced it to ash she would later have to sweep up and take care of. But for now, her desire was all she could feel. She wrapped her right hand around his throat while she went for his cock with her left as she shoved him against the wall, his back hitting it with a dull thud. He fumbled with a button on her jeans while she rubbed him over his. I'm usually more polite with this. I'm usually more polite than this. We don't have a ton of time before they start to wonder where I am. Fuck your politeness, she laughed, pushing his hands out of the way to get her jeans down. Pull them down so I can get you wet before you bend me over this sink. She nodded toward his lower half. The spark, the eagerness to have him, the thick of his cock, as she could now see, pulling the sad out of her for now, was like a meditation, something to grasp, focus on, so the ache of loss would fade into the background. Maggie bent over and spit on the head of him, then used the flat of her tongue to spread it over his shaft while he gathered her hair in his fist and watched her. She wanted to stay right where she was, savoring him, learning every inch of his cock, memorizing with her tongue, but the clock was ticking and she wanted him inside of her more. When she got him so wet he was dripping onto the floor, she stood, kissed his mouth, leaving a string of her saliva that hung between them like a power line before she turned around, pushed her hips out as she gripped the sink and said, "Fuck me." The sting of him shoving into her mixed with relief, a long-held exhale that was finally free to express exited her lungs as she closed her eyes, mouth dropping open as he pushed and pushed into her body with a demanding rhythm she was thrilled to match. Brian gathered her hair again, holding it firmly at the base of her neck. She felt him kiss just below her ear, a fleeting tenderness she wanted to do without right now. Her desire was only for the rush, a primal need, an incessant, hurried, quick encounter. Tenderness would only take her out, remind her of her vulnerability, and she couldn't have that right now. As he let go of her hair and went for her breast, there was a knock on the door, startling them both. "Fuck," he whispered over her shoulder. Maggie froze, stifling a giggle. "Just a minute," he called out. She pushed her hips back against his, wanting to redirect his focus. "I don't think I can finish. That freaked me out. And I know I've been in here too long as it is, but you feel so fucking good," he said, continuing to fuck her again. "So keep going," she said. "Ugh, I want to. I just..." He trailed off as she bucked harder against him. "Harder," she instructed. "Maggie." He did what she said, but she felt his hesitation. "I want you to fill me up with your cum," she demanded. That got him. She felt him return, his full attention to her ass slamming against his body, both of them getting sticky with sweat. She wasn't going to get off like this, but she wanted to carry the slip of him between her thighs as she made her way home. She wanted the smell of him to bring her back to this moment as she went about the rest of her day. She wanted an anchor to pull her towards it when the grief tide rushed back in. It wasn't a surprise to either of them that he came hard and fast, the weight of him heavy on her back as they slowed to a standstill. Pushing her hips forward to ease him out of her, she bent down and pulled her jeans back up. "Thank you. I really needed that." "No problem. Apparently, so did I," he replied, while also reaching for his jeans and buttoning them back up. Maggie reached for her purse while he washed his hands. "See you around then." "I love that. Obviously, I'm taking care of your food, but leave me your number," he asked, drying his hands off. She kissed him. "Of course. I'll let you get back to work." Brian backed away from the sink as she slowly unlocked and opened the door, stepping out like nothing had happened, heading over to her table, taking her coat off the chair, and walking out without so much as a glance behind her. There was never any intention to keep in touch with him, not even when she felt like drowning. She'd figure it out or fuck someone else, maybe both. For now, she'd enjoy feeling his cum soak her underwear on her way home while the tears surfaced and crashed on to the shore of her heart.